Let us look to the word of the Lord. Our scripture reading this morning is very short. It's not as short as the other day when it was just three words. Does anybody remember what that was? Remember Lot's wife. That's what it was. So today it's a little bit longer. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 7. And you'll need your Bibles, not just for this verse, but for later as we prepare our hearts for God's word. But in Isaiah chapter 50, verse 7, the prophet Isaiah says these words. It's on the screen behind me as well. Because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore have I set my face like flint, and I know I will not be put to shame. Let me read again. Because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore have I set my face like flint, and I know I will not be put to shame. This is the word of the Lord. As we begin this morning, I just wanted to ask if you know who these guys are. Has anybody ever seen them in person? For the longest time, they were the Queen's Guards, not anymore. They're now the King's Guards. And they have quite a role. The King's Guards in England are sentry postings only at Buckingham Palace and St. James Palace. Now, they're organized by the British Army's Household Division, and they have a very specific responsibility, and that is to guard the monarchy from any threat. And so they have to stay at their post, they have to stay alert, and at times they do their marches. But they have always quite the role and responsibility, especially when they're distracted or people are trying to distract them. Because what often do we see tourists trying to do to these poor soldiers, right? Get them to move. Get in front of their faces, right? Let's see if we can make them flinch during their sentry duty. And I can't imagine how hard that would be. They have a protocol if anybody gets too close for too long. I don't know if you know that. After a certain amount of time, they can start shouting out who they are and that they need to back away. And but at times, I'm sure it can get very difficult to hold their pose. But they're very disciplined. And these guards are very good at their job. Everything they do is about discipline. It takes a lot of effort for these King's Guards to remain at their post. I don't know if you know this, but orders for sentry duty, when they're just kind of standing as long, you know, for that long period of time, it's usually for about 2 hours. And in those 2 hours, they cannot sit, they cannot lie down, they cannot move, they cannot eat, they cannot stand at ease. And at times, if it's a really hot day, like it's been hot here recently, they have other people at the palace that will come out to give them water. That will actually, they can't move to drink it, but they are given water by somebody else holding the water up to their mouth. So it's quite a role, it's quite a responsibility. But some tourists cannot resist trying to get them to flinch, right? But these guards, they show us what it means to be disciplined in their sentry duty. Now, where am I going with this? And why am I just mentioning these King's Guards and their role and how well they do it? But also, what does it mean to not flinch? What does it mean to not withdraw or shrink from? Because that's what it means to not flinch. And I'm sure if I talk to some kids and youth, there's probably games that you've played where you try to get each other to flinch. We even play a youth group game where we make a circle, and one player stands in the middle of this circle with a ball, and all the other youth have to stand around in the circle holding their arms like this the whole time. And the person in the middle with the ball has the job to try and eliminate as many people as possible from that circle. And of course, what he has to do is he has to throw the ball at them or pretend to throw the ball at them. If only I could practice on you guys this morning. I just thought about that now. That would just be hilarious. So you're standing in a circle, and you're staring at the person in the middle who has the ball. And so if the person throws the ball at you and actually throws the ball at you, you have to catch it. And if you don't catch it, you're eliminated. But if he pretends to throw the ball at you, and you're there, and you, like, flinch, right? Guess what? You're eliminated. You're out of the game because you withdrew, because you changed your form, because you compromised your posture. And so that's what it means to not flinch. Now, our verse today, that's one little verse in the Isaiah chapter 50, verse 7, comes from a passage where the prophet Isaiah is describing what is going to happen to the Messiah when he was going to walk this earth. This is where you need your Bibles, because we're going to look at the verses surrounding verse 7. Let me read to you the verses surrounding it, starting at verse 4 and ending at verse 11. Okay, this is the prophet Isaiah. These are words of prophecy about the Lord's servant, the Messiah, Jesus, who would come. So again, let me read to you verses 4 to 11 from chapter 50. The sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being taught. The sovereign Lord has opened my ears, and I have not been rebellious. I have not drawn back. I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. Remember, this isn't Isaiah talking about Isaiah. This is Isaiah, the prophet, talking about what the Messiah would have to suffer. Carrying on. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. Because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore have I set my face like flint, and I know I will not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who then will bring charges against me? Let us face each other. Who is my accuser? Let him confront me. It is the Lord, the sovereign Lord, who helps me. Who is he that will condemn me? They will all wear out like a garment. The moths will eat them up. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the word of his servant? Let him who walks in the dark, who has no light, trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. But now, all you who light fires and provide yourselves with flaming torches, go, walk in the light of your fires and of the torches you have set ablaze. This is what you shall receive from my hand. You will lie down in torment. This is the word of the Lord. And in these verses, we come across, a passage of prophetic scripture describing what Jesus would go through when he came to walk the earth. The prophet Isaiah speaks of the suffering of the Messiah in these verses. Now, in verse 7, again, the servant, that is Jesus the Messiah, expresses his complete confidence in God, declaring that he will not shrink back from his mission, despite severe suffering and opposition and humiliation. Again, as verse 7 says, I have set my face like flint, and I know I will not be put to shame. Jesus was very aware of the mission that he was on, and nothing was going to keep him from it. Now, to set your face like flint, I don't know if before Sunday you've ever heard that figure of speech. Perhaps it's the first time for you. But it describes the Messiah's unwavering determination to persevere in the excruciating task set before him. And so to set your face like flint is unwavering determination, meaning nothing is going to make you flinch. Nothing will cause you to withdraw or shrink from your mission. Now, we learn in the Gospels, all four, that Christ would endure and intense humiliation on his journey to the cross. Why? To die for your sins and mine. And nothing was going to stop him from going through this pain. Now, nearly 800 years before it happened, we have this passage from Isaiah that foretells the suffering of the Lord's servant. Listen to some of the words Isaiah spoke describing what Jesus would go through and what he did go through because of his love for you and me. As I read earlier, it says, I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. Just any of that, it would be very painful And it's very graphic and shocking to just even think about. But in Jerusalem, Jesus would face arrest and torture and agonizing death. But with trust in God the Father to help and defend him before his enemies, Jesus set off firmly and unflinchingly committed to finish his mission. In Luke 22, verse 42, we hear these words as he neared death. Not my will, but yours be done. Facing the cross, Jesus was able to pray those words, not my will, but yours be done. And he prayed those words because he was wholly submitted to his Father's will. No matter the cost, no matter the sacrifice, he was going to obey God's will right to the end. And that was central to Christ's mission. And he told his disciples in John 6, verse 38, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me." How close are you getting to the Lord these days? Have you reached that place where this is your heart's desire as well? No matter what it will cost, I will do the will of God, and I will follow him in obedience. For Jesus, there was no backing out, and no enemy or accuser would deter him from accomplishing his purpose. So in Christ, we see the example of one who set his face like flint. Now, if you don't know what flint is a very hard rock. It's a dark rock. It was used by early natives to make weapons or tools, weapons such as arrowheads and axe heads. And they used this type of rock because it was extremely hard. It was durable. It was firm. And it is used actually figuratively in the Bible more than once to express a hardness, a firmness, a toughness of an impossible task that you must endure. And when I think of the phrase, to set your face like flint, I think of the word determination and discipline, like the actions of those king's guards, or a person, or perhaps you even right now, determined to complete a mission no matter what. A mission that God has laid out before you. A calling from God our Father upon your life, just as he gave to those early fishermen, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Think of the word determination. Determination is the capacity to endure in the face of difficulties. That is what it means to set your face like flint, to be determined. And staying on track in the Christian life, staying in the right lane, which I pray you are each in the right lane today, and that is the way of Christ, that is the Jesus way. You're going to be tempted to get off it every day. You have to be determined. You have to stay focused on the Lord in all of this. But to stay on the track in the Christian life requires setting our faces like flint. And the Apostle Paul, he teaches us to run the race with our eyes on the prize. Listen to these words from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 to 27. He says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." Paul set his face like flint to finish his mission in life, his goal, which was to be a messenger of the gospel, to preach the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus until he had no breath left. In Philippians 3, he went on to say, "Not that I have already obtained this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on." Even in that phrase there, we hear the echo of setting your face like flint. I press on to take hold of that which for Christ has taken hold of me. "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press toward, on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So nothing was more important to Paul than completing his God-given mission, no matter the cost. He said in Acts 20, verse 24, but my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. And Paul isn't the only one in the Bible who set his face like flint. The Bible is filled of examples of people, men and women, who demonstrated this unwavering determination and trust in God's provision and care. And their stories of faith and perseverance offer us encouragement even today and guidance as we navigate the challenges of life personally in a very secular society and in a time where so much is going against the church and God's word now more than ever. For instance, in Genesis chapter 12, in Abraham's example, we see this. In Genesis 12, verses 1 to 4, the Lord comes to Abraham, calls him out and says, go to this place I have set aside for you. Now, Abraham was willing to leave his home and follow God's instruction, even when it meant going to an unfamiliar land. He had no idea what this was going to be like. He couldn't even picture it. But nothing was going to change his mind. He obeyed and became the father of many nations as God has promised. How about Esther? Esther is another example in the Bible. When she learns that the king's advisor, Haman, is planning to kill all the Jews in the kingdom, she does not hesitate to go before the king and plead for her people, even if it meant putting her life in danger. She set her face like flint, and her demonstration of determination is very much expressed when she says, if I perish, I perish, but I will stand up for my people. So she was willing to risk her own life to save her Jewish brothers and sisters. Now, earlier, Annika read about the story of Daniel. Daniel in the lion's den is another example of steadfastness in the face of adversity. Daniel was a faithful servant of God, and when it became illegal against the law to worship and pray to any other god other than King Darius, Daniel refused to obey this law. He wasn't afraid of anybody seeing him pray. And so that's why it says in the passage of Scripture, his window was always open. People could see him praying on his knees towards Jerusalem. And even though there was a law that said you could no longer do that, he just ignored that law. His window was open for all to see him as he got down on his knees and prayed to the only one true God, the God of the Bible. And as a result, he was thrown into a den of lions. But God protected him. God protected him from harm, and God blessed him for his obedience and faithfulness. And in Daniel 6, verse 22, the king, realizing the error of his ways, exclaimed, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Daniel replied, my God has sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth so that they have not hurt me. That's one big God that we serve and worship today. Daniel's steadfastness in his faith, even in the face of death, is an inspiring example of trusting in God's protection and provision today. And so, like Daniel, you and me will face situations where our faith is tested, and perhaps your safety is at risk. However, we can trust God's protection. We can trust in his provision every day. As Psalm 23, verse 1 says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. We should pray for God's help and have faith that he will provide for our needs. Now, in the New Testament, we find another example of individuals who set their face like flint, Mary and Joseph. Their determination is demonstrated in Matthew chapter 1, where they obediently follow God's plan for their lives. Did they understand it? No. Their lives were turned upside down when the Lord told them of what they were to do. So Mary learns that she is going to bear the Son of God, and she willingly accepts her role. Even though it will be difficult, she will face many challenges ahead. She obeys the messenger of the God. And similarly, Joseph is determined to protect and care for Mary and Jesus, even when it means leaving his home and going to live in a foreign land. And lastly, most importantly, and this list could go on, this could be your Bible study with your family this week, where else in Scripture do you see individuals who set their face like flint? Unwavered determination. But let me end by just looking to Jesus again. For Jesus shows us what it means to be determined to follow the way of God. And this is who the prophet Isaiah spoke of in our passage in Isaiah. Throughout his ministry, Jesus demonstrated a consistent and unwavering determination to fulfill God's plan for his life, even unto death. And so as Christians, as followers of Christ, if you are here today having given your life to Jesus, and you know him as your personal Lord and Savior, and that is what separates us from the rest of this world. For like I said last week, there are only two types of people in this world. Those that are believers and those that aren't. Those that have placed their trust in Jesus and they have this personal relationship with God, and those that don't. But here we are called in Scripture to remain steadfast even in the midst of adversity. And you might be facing adversity today. Could be a health struggle. Could be a financial issue. Could be that you're surrounded in your workplace by a group of people that are trying to pull you along with them, to compromise your faith because this is what culture accepts. But Hebrews 12 verses 1 to 2 presents for us an excellent picture of setting our faces like flint. Therefore, it says, and be encouraged by this word, we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So setting our face like flint means to follow in Christ's footsteps. It truly does. To be separate from worldly influences. And it also means to be disciplined, being loyal to God and his truth above all else. It doesn't mean we're not oblivious to all that is going around us, but we make that choice. And nobody can make that choice for you. Even as soon as you get up and leave this building today, you have to make a choice. Will you be determined to following Jesus no matter what the cost? And perhaps that is the reason why you are here today, to renew your commitment to following Jesus with your heart, with your soul, with your mind. Setting my face like flint means choosing to set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. It means to hold on to truth even when people around you are not only bending it but are compromising it in their witness. But to live this way for the Lord, to live with such unwavering determination, let me remind you, it's impossible on your own. This is not possible without God's strength and the power of the Holy Spirit. God empowers us for the things he has called us to do in his word. And to be responsible, to be determined means I will respond to God's ability, trusting that he will supply for my every need that is in Christ Jesus. You know, Jesus, going back to his example, he faced the ultimate test when he went to the cross. When Jesus went to the garden to pray, he took just a few of his disciples with him, and then he went on further so that he could be alone with God. He knew what was coming. He knew the cross was soon to be near. But Jesus did not turn away from what was coming. They beat him, they mocked him, they spat on him, but God is the one who helped Jesus so that he was not disgraced. And Jesus set his face like flint. And on the cross, he died for your sins and mine and said, "It is finished." So like Jesus, may we set our face like flint and be resolute in our walk with God. We need to trust him, even when he is not making sense to us. And we don't understand what's happening in our lives. That is when we need to lean into him even more. We need to trust that even in our suffering, he can bring about good for us and for his kingdom. We need to be assured that in the end, we will not be put to shame. The Lord is and will be our strength and our help. Let me say that again. The Lord is and will be your strength and your help today. So like Jesus, let us continue to commit our lives to doing his will, God's will, walking in Jesus' way. And if Jesus is your Savior here today, no matter what you are facing in your life, you can set your face like flint, being confident that God will help you persevere to the end. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, again that we can gather in this place to worship you, to set our faces towards you, Lord. We thank you for your presence. We thank you, Lord, for your power at work in our lives. We thank you that, Lord, you have created us to do good works. Works, Lord, that come from our faith in you, Lord. And we do pray that you would use our lives even this week in such a way that as people see us living for Jesus, they will look to you and glorify our Father who is in heaven. Lord, we also ask this morning for your forgiveness. Forgive us, Lord, if in this past week we have compromised our faith. Forgive us, Lord, of our trespasses, our sins, as we forgive those that have sinned against us. Lord, that is our prayer. That is what you have taught us to pray. But Lord, as we consider your word this morning, this message from your word, Lord, may it be that you find us faithful and committed to the ways of Christ, to your word, to standing on your word, to not only meditating on it and living it, but also teaching it to those that you put into our lives as well. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we are not alone. Thank you, Lord, for those in our lives that you have placed there to encourage us and to love us, to build us up. We thank you for a church family. We thank you for a family of faith, a community of faith, Lord, wherever it is that we are. And God, help us to always remember our role as well, that you have given us a responsibility to be a witness of Christ to those around us. And so it may be that even in a culture that we live in now where so much is against Christ and so much is against your word, Lord, would you continue to give us the strength to be bold in our faith, to tell others that there is hope, there is peace, there is eternal life, and it can be found only in Jesus Christ, the name above all names. In his name we pray. Amen.